Romans chapter 6. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 4. Do you not know that we were baptized into his death? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 23. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everyone, today, through the words of Romans chapter 6, we must deeply consider once again what faith believing in Jesus is, and what meaning Jesus' baptism has for us. The Apostle Paul spoke in Romans chapter 5, that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and through that sin, all people came to reach death. However, he said that through the obedience of another man, that is, Jesus Christ, many people became righteous. It means that although all people became sinners in Adam, those who believe in Christ Jesus became righteous. But the Apostle Paul does not stop here. After stating the fact that, quote, we were justified by faith, he is now saying in Romans chapter 6 what those who have been justified must know. That is exactly the word. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? This word is the center of Romans chapter 6. If you do not know Jesus, baptism, you cannot fully know Jesus, salvation. Everyone, today many people say they believe in Jesus. However, they do not know exactly how Jesus removed our sins. They only speak of the cross. They only say that Jesus shed blood. Of course, it is truly important that Jesus shed blood on the cross. However, if you do not know why Jesus had to hang on the cross, you cannot fully know the meaning of the cross either. Jesus hanging on the cross was not because he had sin. Jesus is the Son of God who has no sin. But why was he crucified on the cross like a sinner? That is because when Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist, he took charge of all the sins of the world. When Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, all the sins of the world passed over to Jesus. My sins also passed over then. Your sins also passed over then. And the sins of all mankind since Adam passed over to Jesus then. That is why John the Baptist saw Jesus and testified, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus. Baptism is not a simple ceremony. Jesus' baptism is the event where our sins passed over to Jesus, and Jesus dying on the cross is the event where he received the judgment of those passed over sins in our place. Therefore, Jesus' baptism and the cross can never be separated. A cross without baptism cannot explain why sin was upon Jesus. Baptism without a cross cannot explain how the judgment of sin was accomplished. Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection must be together to become the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Inside the words Christ Jesus is the Lord's office. The Apostle Paul does not just say Jesus here, but says Christ Jesus. There is a deep meaning in these words as well. The word Christ means the Anointed One. In the Old Testament, kings, priests, and prophets were anointed. Jesus is the true King, the true High Priest, and the true Prophet. Jesus came to this earth as the King of Kings. Also, he came as the heavenly High Priest and took charge of our sins. And as the true prophets, he brightly showed us God's will of salvation. Jesus receiving baptism from John the Baptist is the work of taking charge of our sins as the High Priest. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament passed the sins of the people onto the sacrificial offering by laying on of hands, in the New Testament, John the Baptist baptized Jesus on behalf of mankind, and Jesus took charge of the sins of the world through that baptism. Therefore, baptized into Christ Jesus means accepting by faith the work Jesus did as the Christ. It is believing the fact that Jesus received baptism to take charge of my sins, died on the cross, bearing those sins, and lived again to become my Savior. Without this faith, one cannot say they know Christ. Even if one says they know who Jesus is, if they do not know that Jesus took charge of my sins through baptism, they do not fully know his righteousness. Inside Jesus, baptism, the imputation of sin, death, and resurrection are all included. The Apostle Paul said, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Here, baptism does not merely mean a religious ceremony of going into the water and coming out. There are three things included in Jesus' baptism. First, our sins passed over to Jesus. Second, Jesus bore those sins and died on the cross. Third, Jesus resurrected from death and gave us new life. Therefore, believing in Jesus, baptism is believing that my sins passed over to Jesus, believing that Jesus died in my place, and believing that Jesus lived again to make me live with new life as well. A person who believes in Jesus, baptism believes in the cross more clearly. A person who believes in Jesus, baptism believes in the resurrection more certainly as well, because they know why Jesus died and why he lived again. Jesus, death is our death. Jesus, resurrection is our resurrection. Because our sins passed over to him when Jesus received baptism, the judgment of our sins was also finished when Jesus died. And because Jesus lived again, we have obtained new life in him. Everyone, this is the gospel. This is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. We are people who died together with Jesus. Romans chapter 6 tells us an amazing fact, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Everyone, we did not only receive the removal of sin by believing in Jesus, our old man also died together with Jesus. The old man that used to be a slave to sin was finished on the cross. This does not mean that the flesh disappeared immediately. We still have the flesh. We are still weak. Sometimes we are lacking. However, looking within faith, our old man was crucified on the cross, together with Jesus. The person who was under the dominion of sin has died. Therefore, the Apostle Paul said, "For he that hath died is justified from sin." Romans chapter 6, verse 7. When a person dies, sin can no longer assert itself over that person. The power of sin cannot reach a dead person. We are those who have died to sin in Jesus. Therefore, sin cannot govern us now. No matter how much the devil accuses, no matter how much the law tries to condemn, our sin is already finished by Jesus, baptism, and the cross. We are not those who belong to sin. We are those who belong to Christ. We are people who lived again together with Jesus. The Apostle Paul also says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Everyone, the gospel does not end at death. Jesus died and lived again. Because Jesus lived again, we obtained new life. Jesus' resurrection is God's confirmation that gave us eternal life. Because Jesus lived again from among the dead, death cannot assert itself over him again. And we who are united with that Jesus are also not those who belong to death. We are those who received eternal life. Therefore, a Christian's hope is not only on this earth. Eating well and living well on this earth is not the purpose of faith. Becoming rich, receiving healing from sickness, and gaining honor on this earth are not the purposes of believing in Jesus. We are people who hope for the kingdom of heaven. We are people who look toward the new heaven and the new earth. Even if our flesh becomes weak and this world becomes difficult, we have the hope of resurrection. We believe that when the Lord comes again, our bodies will also be transformed and we will live forever together with the Lord. A person who has this hope can live a true life of faith. A person who has this hope can live for the gospel. A person who has this hope can live for other souls, not living only for their own flesh. A person who received the removal of sin cannot dwell in sin. The Apostle Paul first asks like this, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Certainly not. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. This word makes it clear that it does not mean a person who received the removal of sin can commit sin as they please. Some people misunderstand the gospel. They say, "If Jesus washed away all sins, isn't it okay to live however we want now?" However, the Apostle Paul firmly says, "Certainly not. Why is that?" It is because we are people who died to sin. A person liberated from sin cannot live like a slave to sin again. A person who died together with Jesus and lived again together with Jesus must not return to the life of the old man again. Of course, our flesh is still weak. However, we are not people who live loving sin. We are not people who want to stay in sin. We are people who love God's righteousness. We are people who want to live for the gospel. We are people who want to live being thankful to the Lord. We do not live righteously to receive salvation. Because we already receive salvation, we live for righteousness. We do not do good to receive the removal of sin. Because we already received the removal of sin, we do God's work with thankfulness. We must present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Today's word tells us, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Everyone, our body is a tool. Our mouth is also a tool. Our hands are also tools. Our feet are also tools. Our time is also a tool. And our talents are also tools. Who we present these tools to is important. If we present them to sin, they become instruments of unrighteousness. If we present them to God, they become instruments of righteousness. We must not use our mouth only for worldly words and vain words, but we must use it to preach the gospel. We must not use our hands only for ourselves, but we must use them to serve God's work. We must not use our feet only to follow after worldly greed, but we must use them to go find souls. We must present our time, material possessions, and hearts for the kingdom of God. In this age, there is so much work to do in preaching the gospel. There are still many people who do not know how Jesus washed away our sins, because they do not know the gospel of the water and the Spirit. There are many people being deceived by false teachings. There are many people bound to religious life without having received the removal of sin. Therefore, we cannot stay still. Because we knew this gospel first, because we received the removal of sin first, because we knew the truth of Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection first, we must preach this gospel. This is the life of living as instruments of righteousness. True faith does not make doing well in the world its purpose. Today, many people seek only the blessings of this earth, even while believing in Jesus. They want to believe in Jesus and become rich. They want to believe in Jesus and receive healing from sickness. They want to believe in Jesus and have their children do well, their businesses do well, and gain honor. However, is that the essence of faith? Is the purpose for which Jesus saved us merely to make us live comfortably in the world? No, it is not. Jesus came to save us from sin. He came to take charge of our sins through his baptism, to receive judgment on the cross, and to give us new life through his resurrection. And he came to make us, who have been saved, workers of God's righteousness. The gospel is not merely about becoming a good person in the world. We cannot say that it is God's will for a denomination to grow large and gain much power. If one talks about being a light in the world but actually does not know the gospel of Jesus, baptism, and the cross, it is like a servant who does not know the master's will, working according to his own thoughts. What pleases God is for sinners to hear the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and receive the removal of sin. It is to become righteous by believing the gospel that Jesus took charge of the sins of the world through his baptism, and finished those sins on the cross. This is God's will. This is the gospel we must preach. We must live as slaves of righteousness. The Apostle Paul says, "But God be thanked, that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. We were originally slaves of sin. We lived as sin dictated. We lived as the flesh desired. We lived following the values of the world. However, now we have been liberated from sin, and we have become slaves to righteousness. A slave is not a person who lives as he pleases. He is a person who lives according to the master's will. If so, we who have become slaves of righteousness must live according to God's will. God's will is clear. It is to preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit. It is to save souls who are still in sin. It is to preach the true gospel to people who are being deceived by false gospels. It is to testify to God's righteousness accomplished by Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection. Everyone, this is the purpose of our lives. A saved person can no longer live only for himself. We must live for other souls. We must live for the gospel. We must live for God's church. We must live for the work the Lord has entrusted to us. It is not because we are great that we are used. It is not because we are perfect that we are offered to God. Even if we are lacking and weak, if we offer ourselves to God, God uses us. God can use even a person who is nothing as an instrument of the gospel. The important thing is to whom we offer ourselves. Will you offer yourself to sin? Will you offer yourself to righteousness? Will you offer yourself to the world? Will you offer yourself to God? We must offer ourselves to God. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. The final word of Romans chapter 6 is very clear. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The result of sin is death. A person who has sin will surely receive judgment. However, the gift God has given us is eternal life. This eternal life is not something obtained by our deeds. It is not something received by our efforts. It is a gift freely given by God in Christ Jesus. Jesus took charge of our sins through his baptism. Jesus paid the wages of our sins on the cross. Jesus resurrected and gave us eternal life. Therefore, we received eternal life by faith. Now we are not people under the wages of sin. We are people inside God's gift. We are not people bound to death. We are people who received eternal life. We are not slaves of sin. We are slaves of righteousness. Therefore, the remainder of our lives must be offered to the Lord. Let us live with the faith of being baptized, united with Christ Jesus. Beloved everyone, we are people who have been baptized, united with Christ Jesus. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, all our sins passed over to him. When Jesus died on the cross, the judgment of our sins also ended. When Jesus resurrected from death, we also obtained new life. Therefore, we are dead to sin. We are alive to God. We must believe this fact. We must know this fact. We must engrave this fact in our hearts. And we must live by this faith. Let us no longer act as slaves to sin. Let us no longer seek hope only in the world. Let us no longer live only for the greed of the flesh. Let us present our members as instruments of righteousness to God. Let us preach the gospel with our mouths. Serve God's work with our hands. Go find souls with our feet. And follow the Lord's will with our hearts. What is needed in this age is the true gospel. It is the gospel of the water and the Spirit. It is the gospel that makes one receive the removal of sin by believing in Jesus, baptism, cross, and resurrection. God wants to save people who are still in sin through us who know this gospel. We are lacking, but if God uses us, we can be used. We are weak, but the gospel has power. We seem like nothing, but if God holds us, we can become instruments of righteousness that save many souls. Everyone, let us live as those who have been baptized in union with Christ Jesus should live. Let us live, considering ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Let us live as slaves of righteousness. Let us live for the gospel. And let us hold on to the hope of eternal life that God has given us, and serve the Lord to the end. God rescued us from sin and gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus. I hope we all become those who live the remainder of our lives for God's righteousness, being thankful for this grace. Amen.